listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Brenda Crosston, my wife, and just in case that name didn't sound familiar to you. Hello, Brenda.
Good day, sir. Thank you for having me. For session three, the temptation to test God. So we've been talking about all these temptations, and this week is the temptation to test God. Our scripture passage is Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, alongside Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 16 through 25. I'm sure that all the good Christian folks out there are saying, I don't tempt God. I'm not even tempted to test God. Well, before you say that, let's dive into these passages and see.
All right, so our point for today is we can trust God without putting him to the test. So what does testing God reveal about our faith? And the first thing we have to say is that you're not trusting. The first thing it reveals is that you're not trusting. Let's start with Matthew chapter 4. Verses 5 through 7. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus told him, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." And so the first thing that this idea of testing God says, that we're not really trusting God, right? If I trust you, I don't have to put you to the test. Right? I just go along and believe that you are going to handle what needs to be handled. And so notice a couple things here. One is that the devil can quote scripture too, right? So be careful. The devil quoted the scripture to Jesus. He said, this is what the Bible says. And so you'll often get people who say something that the Bible says, right? But in order to understand the scriptures, you can't quote them in isolation. And the scripture is the best interpreter of itself. And so what does Jesus do? He says, it is also written. Come on. He says, you got a scripture, I got a scripture too. Because the truth, right, has to stand up against all scripture, not just align with a scripture, right? And so Jesus told him, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. God doesn't need a test. And we're in school, the test is there to figure out whether or not we have the stuff. Have we learned the lesson? Do we know the information? Can we handle it? God doesn't need the test because he is the creator and sustainer of everything that is, was, and ever shall be. And so there's no need to put him to the test. And so when we're testing him, what it says, we're not trusting his word. We're not trusting what God has already said. We're not trusting that he will take care of us, that he will be with us, that he is our friend, that he supplies our needs. So don't put him to the test. Just go ahead and trust him. What are you thinking, Brenda?
I'm looking at the fact that Satan has taken Jesus up on the highest, to this highest point. So he can look around in the city and see all the good things from that vantage point. And he quotes the scripture to him, but God has given you, given angels charge to take care of you, right? And sometimes we take that scripture and use it as a way to go ahead and gratify ourselves, to go ahead. I remember specifically saying to myself, like, oh, if I do thus, thus, and so, then the Lord's going to protect me either way, right? And so while Jesus wasn't thinking this, I don't want to imply that at all. Jesus wasn't thinking that. But sometimes we do. We don't trust God enough to sustain us in well-doing. We want what we want, you know, and I'm not even talking about the usual simple things that we're thinking of, you know, lust and money and greed. I'm talking about sometimes we want relationships that are not in God's will for us. And so we don't trust God that if we wait on his timing and his voice and his moving and his leading, that he's going to give us the best thing in his timing. We don't trust him in that. We don't trust him to sustain us in well-doing. And so we go ahead and just do our own thing. And so I think we need to be warned here as we look at how Jesus handled this, to remember that we can trust him to sustain us in our well-doing. That, I mean, that's going to garner the best thing.
All right. So the second thing it says is that you're not doing right. And so let's go to Deuteronomy now and pick up at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Do not test the Lord your God as you tested him at Massah. Carefully observe the commands of the Lord your God, the decrees and statutes he has commanded you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that you may prosper and so that you may enter the process and possess the good land the Lord your God swore to give your ancestors by driving out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has said. And so don't put God to the test. What does it say? You are not doing what is right. And that's right there in the text. It's right there in the middle of the text that you are not doing what is right in the Lord's sight. And so our job is just to do what it says, carefully observe the commands. Just do what God said and follow his statutes and follow his decrees. Because whenever somebody doubts God or puts God to the test, it usually doesn't end up that well for them, right? So our job is just to do what God said to do and to follow his commands and believe. So ultimately, one has to continue to believe that at the end of the story, God is leading us to a better place. At the end, God knows what's best for us. At the end, he works all things together for our good. At the end, he doesn't want to harm us, but wants to prosper us and give us hope and a future. And so sometimes it's hard to remember that in the difficult times, but you got to remember that, because that's what's going to keep you on the right road when the time of temptation comes. What are you thinking, brother?
I just happen to be in my personal study time reading through the book of Exodus. So all of this is so super fresh in my mind. The passage that Deuteronomy 6 and 16 is referring to, the Israelites have just seen God deliver them in such an amazing way. They're not even, I think at this time, they're maybe a month or two out from this deliverance. And they're like, they get to a point and there's no water. They're saying, oh my gosh, did you bring us out here to die? You know, it's amazing that they don't trust God even after all they've seen. to just move forward and know that he's going to provide. And so they're testing God in the sense that it's almost like you're not going to provide for us. You know, it's almost as if it's mocking. It's kind of mocking. And we see this translates in our personal, in today's society, I should say. In today's society, we do this a lot on social media. We do this with one another. If you don't like my status, if you're not following me, if you're not commenting back, then you don't love me. It used to, back in the day, it was chain letters. We would send people chain letters. And so this is almost like a chain letter to God. If you don't do this, then you don't love me. And so we have to be careful, not only doing that with one another, but especially when it comes to God, because he has an established track record. Like I said, the Israelites had been brought out with amazing feats, but you can't, I know it's a little difficult for us to look at the Israelite story, but think about your own life and how God has proved himself over and over again. It should make us want to walk, be careful to obey what he says, because I don't have any other better words than the ones I've been saying over and over again. His way garners the best thing.
All right, that's exactly true. So we want to be careful not to give in to the temptation to test God, because it shows we are not trusting. It shows that we are not doing what is right. It also shows that we are just not remembering. We are not remembering. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and pick up at verse number 20. When your son asks you in the future, what is the meaning of the decrees, statutes, and ordinances that the Lord your God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand. Before our eyes, the Lord inflicted great and devastating signs and wonders on Egypt, on Pharaoh, and on all his household. But he brought us from there in order to lead us in and give us the land that was swore to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to follow all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our prosperity always and for our preservation as it is today. Righteousness will be ours if we are careful to follow every one of these commands before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. And so what he says is, you are not remembering. When you don't go ahead and just trust God rather than trying to put him to the test, you're not remembering what God has already done. That's what it says about the nation of Israel. It says, when your kids raise the question, what are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them what God has already done, how they were slaves and how God led them out of Egypt with a strong hand. And the truth is that God has already done many things in many of our lives. And so it's important for us to rehearse and to remember what God has already done. So just think about us as Black people. God has already taken us from the bondage of slavery in this country. God has already sustained us through Jim Crow segregation and a season of lynching. And God today has continues to provide for us in many ways, as each generation has done better than the generation before. And so it's important for us to remind our children and to remind ourselves of what God has already done. And so what God has done is a great indicator of what God will do. if he's done it before, we stand in confidence he will continue to do that in our lives as we move forward. Brenda, what do you see here?
So our point for today is we can trust God without putting him to the test. And you listed all these things that God has done, this this track record that we have with him. And so I would just say that there's a right way to be in fellowship with God. So it's not just your praying, your fasting, your conversation with him. It's also recording. So how do we know all of the things that you just listed? Somebody recorded them. How do we know? How was Jesus able to quote, is also written? Because somebody recorded it. And so I challenge us, and I don't have anything to add except a challenge to us to record the faithfulness of God and to rehearse it often. Record the faithfulness of God. Look at what the 20 says. When your sons ask in the future, that implies that somebody should be recording this. Somebody should be recording this. And so the Bible has been recorded for all generations, but we also need our own personal record. I'm sitting here now as we're talking, looking at my grandmother's Bible. That on the first page inside the Bible, she had written the bills for the month. And what I imagine is the amount of money she had to pay for the bills. And then she started subtracting things. So it was like there was provision there. And so it's a record for me that God was faithful to my grandmother. And so he's going to be faithful to me. And so how do we remember, we record and rehearse the goodness of God?
Right. And I would just add on that if the goodness of God in generations past is not enough, or if the goodness of God in your extended family generations is not enough, just think about what God has already done in your life, right? God has already taken you through some things. God has already helped you with some things. God has already healed some things. Come on. And so remember what God has done. Don't you ever forget. And so this is a great study, and I'm sure that your class is going to be blessed by it. So if you're a Bible study teacher, though, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Brenda's going to give us a powerful one-minute teaching tip for today. But what I do want to remind you is that everybody needs to get their copy of the U Bible Study. The U Bible Study can be found at u.lifeway.com. That's u.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats, just what we need for today. There's a personal study guide. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book. The daily devotional pages are also available to keep us in the Word of God every day. And there is a leader pack to make our lessons even more exciting. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. You don't want to miss it. All right, Brenda, give us our one-minute teaching tip for today.
All right, we're still on that deeper dive track. And so, teachers, do this. Record all of the miracles that God performed in order to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Record all of the miracles that God performed to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, and insert those things in your teaching on this week.
All right, so this is going to be a great lesson, and it was a great spending time with you today. Friend, join us again for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.